Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
Which is just a sign. Everything in the natural speaks of something in the spirit. God formed the world to speak of the Godhead. That's what it says in Romans chapter 1. You can read it there in verse 19 and 20 and 21. But God knows exactly what he's doing. And so he made us. And he created us in his image as women. Even though we come from man, we bring forth man. So there's this beautiful circle of what's the word I'm looking for? Efficiency. I mean, one can't live without the other. And so when men want to lord over women, or when women want to lord over men, it's absolute foolishness because we need each other. And one is not greater than the other. We just have different roles. And then on this earth, in our natural world, I'm married, so I'm under spiritual authority in the home. My husband is my head. If I was the president of the United States, and we almost had a woman president, then I would have been under the authority politically or, you know, socially of, no, what's the word I'm looking for? Corporately of Hillary Clinton. She would have been a woman. And I would have been, she would have been my president. Now I have Donald Trump and he's my president and I'm praying for him all the time, every day. And I believe he's going to be a president that is going to surprise us, because I do believe that he's there by divine appointment. Absolutely. And God puts people in and takes people out. But getting back to womanhood, we don't have to have hissy fits like I've watched women have in the last couple of weeks over the election. We don't have to be nasty women, which I've heard. We are actually amazing beings created in the image of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when you get pregnant and you're in that ninth month, has anybody ever had a baby here? And you think you cannot stretch one more centimeter. And you think you're going to be like this until eternity. You know the rapture's going to happen and you're going to get stuck pregnant for eternity, right? Did you ever feel that way? But you see, God made us for creation role for his purposes. And he stretches our physical forms to bring birth. And you think, oh my goodness, I'm going to have a baby and it's going to come how? Really? And yet God has made us in such a miraculous way that the muscles and the hormones and the bones and the ligaments just begin to move and bring forth with great effort, great work, this amazing life. And you're a woman. And I just think that we have been, as women, we can walk in deception or we can walk in truth. We can be who we're supposed to be, magnificent, beautiful, at every season of life. Look, I'm going to be 67 this year, and I've, you know, I'm old now. I mean, don't tell me I'm not old, because I am old compared to a 27-year-old or a 17-year-old or a 47-year-old or a 57-year-old. To a 77-year-old, I'm not old. To everybody under 67, I'm old. Seasons. And God wants us to do life magnificently at every season. Whether we're young, whether you're just starting out your lives, like I see Jenna in the front row, and Jenna, how old are you? You're 25, you've got a college degree, you finished college, right? So your life's ahead of you. And doctor, how old are you? No, come on, you're beautiful. Oh, you're counting. I thought, no, I don't want to tell, just, you're 56, okay. Beautiful at 56, doing life in the 50s. And I mean, we could just go down the row and Michelle, how old are you? You're 34, you're doing life in the 30s. Beth, you're doing life in the 20s. Almost 65, you're doing life in the 60s. And I won't keep going because we could, you know, just look at your neighbor and just ask him, what decade are you doing life in? Go ahead, just do it. It's good. Then we've got Darlene here, who's beautiful, exquisite. I'm not old to you, am I? I know, but I want to be like you when I grow up. I love you. It's always so good to see you. But But today, we've been teaching a series on faith, and I just believe God has anointed women to carry faith. He's anointed us in a creation role specifically to birth things and to bring things into the earth that have not been. I mean, woman actually pioneered sin. She said to Adam, here's a piece of fruit, come and eat it, and let's die together. She was deceived. She listened to the wrong voice. She talked to a stranger. Adam wasn't deceived. He was just standing there wondering what's going to happen to her. If she survives this, maybe I'll do it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what was going on there. Adam took responsibility, though. And because she was deceived, God restores so completely womanhood that God said to the serpent, there's one coming from the seed of the woman who's going to bruise your head. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush you. And this one that's coming was the first messianic prophecy in the Word of God. It's Genesis 3:15. After the fall, when God gathers them together and says, what the heck have you done? Like he didn't know. But now he's releasing and sharing with them unintended consequences of the fall. What happens now? Because you've done this, this is what your lives are going to be like. It wasn't intended this way, but because you've done this, this is the unintended consequence of sin. Now you're going to actually experience death, separation from me. Now you're going to experience hard work when you have children, and it starts with labor. And then from then on, it continues until you close your eyes in death, and those kids no longer have you as a mother on the earth. You're going to have hard work with your children for the rest of your lives. Is that not true? I'm still praying for my kids. I don't know about you. There you go. It's hard work. Because, and he said to the man, there's going to be thorns and thistles, and there's going to be weeds where the earth would have just given you of its fruit. Now, because of this separation, because of this broken relationship, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. And so now it's tough in business. Now you have to believe God. You've got to press in. You've got to work hard. You've got to do things that never were intended. But God says, but there's one coming to the serpent. And though you have bruised his heel, and you will bruise his heel, I am such a God of restoration. I'm such a God that completely restores that which has been taken and stolen and lost, that I'm going to use this beautiful creature that I made for Adam that he listened to, and I'm going to use her to pioneer salvation. And I'm going to bring forth out of her seed, out of the woman, I'm going to bring forth the Messiah. I'm going to bring forth this mystery being that you don't know who he is. He's going to be me. I'm all God, and I'm going to be all man. And he's going to come, and he's going to put everything back together. And as woman pioneered sin, I'm going to use her to pioneer salvation. And Mary, that virgin girl, that little teenage girl, was very important because never had there been a man taken from a woman without a man. A woman had been taken out of a man, Adam and Eve. Man had come from woman, all of us, but never had one come from woman without a man. And Adam had no life in him to bring forth Messiah, so God said, it's going to be my seed. I am going to bring forth out of the seed of the woman one who will crush the very throne of Satan, will unravel all that he has stolen, and I'm going to use woman as she pioneered sin. I'm going to use her to pioneer salvation, and then I'm going to use her to pioneer this gospel because the women were the first ones at the tomb that he sent and said, go and tell. So you see, you're not just women. You magnificent beings made in the image of God. And when we stay in our creation roles and we begin to walk in faith and we begin to see things by the Spirit, we actually become Satan's worst nightmare. But getting us there seems to be somewhat of a challenge. Can anybody say yes to that? Because in our old natures, we are full of guilt, we're full of shame, we're full of insecurity, we're full of foolishness, we're full of all kinds of crazy things from the fall. Are we not? But you see, we're not old creations. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And these are the truths that I began to learn as a young woman of 27 years old, and then I turned 28, and I began to step into the kingdom of God and to learn these things of God, and we're teaching about faith now. We're talking about faith. And I thought today that I would just go back into my life and pick out some stories and give you three things about faith. Because, you see, I just told you a big story about who we are. That's why Proverbs 31 was so important to me. And I studied it for 10 years. And Bobby Houston from the Hillsong Church, she taught me so much about Proverbs 31. She turned my eyes to a revelation I didn't have. And God spoke to me and said, don't read this and get frustrated because you can't be this woman. This is not who you should be. This is who you are. This is who is in you. These are the seeds that are already in your DNA as a new creation in Christ. And you are able to do these magnificent things because you are my girl and you are my daughter and you look like me and you can act like me. And the supernatural can be in your life just like it was in Jesus' life. Because I'm a woman makes no difference to the throne of God. That is where the playing field gets level. There is neither Jew nor Greek, which means in God's eyes, there are two races, the Jewish people that brought forth Messiah and the rest of the tribes of the earth called Gentiles. If you're not Jewish, you and I are Gentiles. Doesn't matter what color we are, what our hair looks like, where we came from, we are Gentiles. Now, it says there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither slave nor free, because at the time of this writing, there were people in bondage to slavery in Rome. There's neither, and that speaks now of our economic systems, right? So God is addressing our tribal information. He's addressing our economic situation. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, bond or free. He says we are all, male or female, we are all one in Christ Jesus. And before the throne of God, when I go before that throne, I have the same rights and privileges that my husband has. Exactly the same. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3 that if you and your husband are not getting along and he is abusing you and mistreating you, which the sons can do sometimes, not on purpose, they're men. They don't get us. We don't get us. So we can fight, right? Anybody have fights in their marriage? Gee, come to my house sometime. Be a fly on my wall and see what it's like to live with that big old guy I'm married to. It'll hinder our prayers. It will hinder our prayers and hinder prayers. That's how important it is to understand this stuff. So when I was 27 years old and I came back to the Lord out of a tremendous escapade of sin for 10 years, and I came back to the Lord, I knew that I was called of God to love Him. That's all I knew, is I love Jesus. Has anybody in here gotten born again and you have fallen head over tails in love with Jesus Christ? I loved Him. I was in love with Jesus. I took my Bible everywhere. I was working for the Trust Department in Bank of America. It was Santa Barbara. It was 1978. I was 27 years old. I would take my Bible with me on break, on my lunch break. And this is before there was all kinds of rules and regulations. And I would just read my Bible and I'd go to a park and I would just preach to everybody. I had to tell somebody about Jesus and what He's done for my life, because He so set me free. I couldn't shut up. I was a little fanatical, maybe. You might have looked at me and said, "Ooh, slow down, girl." But I was coming out of such sin that when I got washed and when I got a fresh start and when Jesus came into my life and when I heard His voice and He said, "Debbie, I'm here," and He wiped my tears away. He wiped them away. Snotting and crying at a Calvary Chapel, at a YMCA in Santa Barbara, sitting on a little hard chair, crying my eyes out the first time I'd ever been in church in 10 years. This poor lady shoves a Kleenex into my hand. She's probably thinking, "Oh God, what's wrong with her?" You know, snot flying everywhere. And I heard the voice of the Lord and He said, "Debbie, I'm here." When I said, "I'm so lonely, Jesus, I'm so lonely. I just am so lonely." He said, "I'm here." Changed my life. It shook me. It rocked me to the core. It changed me. And then when it was opened up that the pastor and his wife would actually have a place for me to live because I had a little girl and I didn't know where I was going to go. I was living with a man that was a drug dealer. I couldn't stay in that situation. God opened a door for me to step into a house ministry in Santa Barbara with 13 other people. And I lived in that house ministry with 13 strangers at 27 years old with a college degree, with a good job at a bank and a trust department, thinking, "What am I doing? I've never lived with people like this before. I can pay my bills. I can be on my own." But you see, God was training me. And I can remember saying, Lord, I just want to love you. I just want to love you. I'm so forgiven, I just want to love you. To whom much is forgiven, there is much love. So I loved Jesus, and I wasn't looking for anybody else. And I want to teach you today about three things in my life. I mean, if I had to tell you about faith, and just asked me to teach on faith, I mean, we could teach hours on it. But if I was going to give you last words, if I was going to say to you, this is what my life looks like, and this is how my life got summed up. This is what happened to me. This is what I learned, and this is what I just did. Because you see, this isn't rocket science. A child can do this. The hardest thing about faith is doing it, believing and obeying, that's all. But when he gives you the grace to do these things, it's not even hard, because now his power is in you to do what his truth demands of you. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So here I am in this house ministry, and I am 27 years old. Miranda's 9. She's 8. She's about to turn 9. And I'm just telling the Lord, I know nothing. I know nothing. I was raised up in the Baptist denomination. I was in Sunday school every day of my life until I was 16. And God took all the word that I'd learned as a child, and it was like a library already in my soul, and instantly it came alive. The pastor prayed over me. I didn't know anything about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I thought it was bad and evil. Watch out for those tongue talkers. I didn't know that they were tongue talkers. I argued with the pastor, but I was so desperate for him, I just said, I just want everything you have. And he said, okay. And he laid his hands on me and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Nothing happened. I didn't fall down. Nothing happened at all. I didn't speak in tongues. I just went home. I opened my Bible, and it was like somebody turned a light on. It was like somebody just said, boom. That somebody was the Holy Spirit. And he was saying, I'm waiting for you. I talked to you as a child. Now I want to teach you as a woman. And he began to unfold the scriptures to me as my teacher, and he'll do the same for you. You see, faith is a process, and it's a lifestyle, and you're going to live by it for the rest of your life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. Faith is a system. When I teach in the Bible college, I teach two kingdoms, and Mike Keyes alluded to it. There are two kingdoms in operation on this planet. There's the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, and there's the kingdom of God. Those kingdoms are in the invisible realm, and those kingdoms are ruling everything. Now, God is allowing the kingdom of darkness for a season of time. Believe me, one breath of his mouth, and this is wiped out. But he has purpose for this. He didn't send it, but he has purpose for it, okay? So now you and I are fighting and warring against the flesh, the old nature, which is under the control of Satan. And Satan's kingdom has rules and laws. And Satan's kingdom operates in fear. It's fear-based. But God's kingdom has rules and laws. And God's kingdom has the law of love, the royal law. But the rule of the economic system of God is faith. It brings forth goods and services. It gets things that are invisible into the realm of the visible. Catherine Coleman said that faith, the definition of faith to her, what things desired become the things obtained. In other words, when I need something, when I want something, and it's not in my life, God doesn't need me to go make it happen. He needs me to come under his authority and by faith bring in his plan into my life. Are you with me? Because as a young woman, I just loved Jesus and I didn't want anybody else. But before I met him and I had that rocked experience of born again, I was 27. Before that, I was in the bars, I was in the clubs, I was with men. I can remember just wanting somebody to love me. Has anybody ever felt like that? You've had so many relationships, you don't even want to think about them anymore. You've had bad marriages, or you've had divorces, or you've never been married. And you're lonely and you just want someone, a man, because you want a man to love you. Has anybody ever felt that way? Listen, that's God-given, guys. That's God-given. God created you to be loved. He did not create you to be abused. He did not create you to be a nasty woman. He created you to be a daughter of the King, filled with faith, able to bring forth his plan into the earth, raise up that which he has for you to raise up, whether it's children, a family, a career, whatever he has ordained and anointed for you to do. He has ordained and he has spoken over you to be successful, to be blessed. The word for blessed is the power to succeed. He wants you to succeed. He doesn't want you to fail. Satan's kingdom wants us to fail. He sees us as sheep for the slaughter. Therefore, the just shall live by faith. I'm in a community that has warfare, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And I'm going to have to learn how to walk by faith and live by faith, because that is what is going to bring me that which I need into the earth. I didn't know I needed a husband yet, but I had a longing in my heart for someone to love me and be a father to Miranda. I didn't know there was a Jim Cobra coming my way, but you see, he came my way because of faith. I didn't know that God was going to use us to pastor a church. We were unqualified to do that. He was a screw up. I was a screw up. We didn't go to Bible college. How could we ever pastor? This is madness. Wasn't even in our heads. But you see, as we walked this out, as we walked out this life of faith, then the plan of God began to unfold step by step by step into our lives. Are you listening to me? So this is a lifetime of faith. It's never going to stop. And I have found that as I've aged, that it takes more faith in my old age than it did in my youth. Darlene, would you say that's true? Yeah, we don't tell you about the stuff about being old. It's magnificent. That's all I'm going to say. Because God says we'll have a magnificent old age if we walk in faith. And that's the plan of God. It's not to be sick and sour and depressed. It's to be filled with the fervor of God and the wisdom of God, and to have a successful old age, and to enjoy the moments that he gives you on earth, and to pray in the will of God, and to see your children flourish, and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. I have one great-granddaughter. To see them flourish. That's the plan of God. That's the will of God. He is a God that has goodness for you and I. He is not here to make you sick, to kill you, to deceive you. He is here to heal you, to restore you, and to make you what you are supposed to be, a beautiful, magnificent daughter of God, walking on this earth in your season of time before you go home. You're on loan to planet Earth, and then your eternity is in heaven. So having said that, I'd like to just give you three things from my life. And to do that, I'm going to say three things. Faith needs permission. Faith needs to practice. It has to grow. And faith needs patience. Permission, practice, and patience. So we're going to go to a familiar scripture that Jess probably has been in. I know she's a Rhema grad, so I can't imagine her not being here. Mark 11, has she been there with you? Oh, she hasn't? Okay, well, let's go. You got your Bibles? Mark 11, it says, last week on earth, he's in Jerusalem. And it is show and tell time with the boys, the disciples. He is pouring into them. They're coming back from the temple. He's kicked out the tax collectors and the carnage that was in the temple. And he comes by a fig tree and he looks at that fig tree. He's hungry. He's looking for something to eat. There's no food on it. He curses the fig tree. You've heard of the fig tree, right? Well, the next day they walk by that fig tree and it is completely withered. It's gone. There's nothing there. And in Mark 11, verse 20, in the morning, as they passed by, he'd cursed the fig tree in the evening as they walked home to Bethany. It's about a 3-mile walk. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So he cursed it, and then they see it, and now that thing is completely dried up. Shocking. It shocks them. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. This is a lesson. It was a show and tell with the fig tree. He cursed it. It withered. They come by. They're asking him, you talked to it. You spoke to it. And it withered. Because he said, let no fruit and let nothing come from you ever again. He spoke to that fig tree. Everything on this planet and in this material, corporeal world has ears. The rocks will cry out. Joshua spoke to the wall at Jericho. They yelled. Are you with me? Jesus spoke to the wind. He now addresses and speaks to this fig tree. They said, look at it. And he says, have faith in God. We're talking about faith. For surely, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Now that's a caveat. There's a condition to this. Faith. He curses this fig tree. He speaks to it. It dies. They look at it and they say, oh my gosh, what happened? And he says, listen, I'm telling you that if you speak to that mountain and say, be removed, be plucked up, and be cast into the sea, it will obey you. If you have faith in your heart and you don't doubt. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Then he talks about forgiveness. So here's a million-dollar question in faith. Faith needs permission. Faith is a force. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things we don't see. It is a force. It flows to you and through you. It's an economic system in the kingdom of God. It moves the invisible into the visible realm. Right? So here we are. You need something. You want something. You have a desire in your heart and you want God to give it to you. How do you know how to get it? Well, you're going to have to give it. You're going to have to get it by faith. There's no other way you're going to get this. Now, there is exceptions to this. God will do miracles and deliverance when you didn't ask for it, like he did for me. So I don't want to say that that's the only way you can get it. Let me correct that. But for most of your walk on the earth, Sue, would you say this is right? You're going to have to flesh this thing out in your flesh body and walk in the spirit and live by faith. God delivered me from cigarette smoking supernaturally. I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day. That obviously was not going to work for my life that was coming, which I had no idea of. So I threw up the first time I smoked a cigarette when I was in eighth grade at a sleeping party, a slumber party. Everybody got mad at me because I threw up all over their clothes and their sleeping bags. Here I am, 27 years old, smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day, and I light up a cigarette, and what do? I throw up. I lit up another one, I threw up. I lit up another one, I threw up, like I did in eighth grade. It was as if God just took this body and cleansed it. And it was like I was in eighth grade again. It was a deliverance. And I got delivered from cigarettes like that because obviously I wasn't going to throw up every, 10 minutes. It was either the cigarettes or the throw up. So God delivered me. He didn't deliver me out of other things. I had to flesh it out and walk in faith. Are you with me? So there'll be times God will deliver you or deliver your kids or something will happen supernatural. You didn't even ask for it and God will do it. That's how good he is. But then there's times when you're going to have to learn to grow up and get out your shield of faith and pull out your sword of the spirit, and you are going to have to go to war, and you're going to have to take this thing to the Father and get it right because you've got to change things. Thank you. So faith needs permission. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I don't know about you, but for me, that was a problem. How do I know what God wants me to have? Have you ever asked that question? You wanted something really bad, but is it God's will? Has anybody ever asked themselves, is this just me or is this where we're living? Okay? Am I supposed to get married? Who am I supposed to marry? Am I supposed to marry Jim? Am I supposed to have kids? Are we supposed to go here and into this city and get a job over here? What are we supposed to do? You don't know. It's not in the Word. Is that not true? So, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, Jesus said that, but there's caveats around that, isn't there? Oh, I just want a Cadillac. I want a Mercedes. I want a Bentley, and I want her husband. Now, that's not going to work. That's not what he is saying. I came through the faith movement of the 80s and the 70s, and there was such foolishness. We went off in those crazy directions. No. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Don't doubt in your heart. Speak it in your mouth and you'll have it. Well, this is not just a cha-ching, a sugar daddy and anything I want. Cha-ching, here he comes. He gives me his credit card and I go shopping on the planet and I'm just having a great time on earth. No, this is not about us. This is about him. This is about him. My faith is about him. Have faith in God. First thing he said. I gotta believe that he is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. And those that come to him must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, this is not a sugar daddy up in the sky. This is God Almighty created you and I to live on this planet in this hour. And there are God assignments and kingdom assignments on our lives that he wants us to walk in. We got to grow up. He needs us to learn how to use our shield and our sword and to actually kick some butt, okay? So, permission. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you hear God's will on something, faith comes. Faith comes when the will of God is known. It's not hard to believe. It comes. It comes. Faith comes when the will of God is known. Faith comes when the word of God gets into your spirit by the Holy Spirit, and there is a light, and there is an agreement, and there is a witness of truth that this is what God has for you and wants for you. It is not hard to believe him. Faith comes. But to get there, there's some steps. Faith needs permission. Faith comes when the will of God is known. It's not hard to believe God when I've got a rhema from God and he told me this is gonna happen and I gotta believe it. It's God, what if? Are you with me? Am I making any sense or am I rambling? All right. Because I can ramble in my old age. I could ramble in my young age. So, oh, Lord, help us. For assuredly, I say to you, verse 23, be removed and be cast in the sea. Whoever does not doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you have, you will have them. Okay, so let's talk about this. Faith desires what God wants. Can I have that scripture up? It needs permission. Faith comes when the will of God is known. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. All things were made by him and for him and through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. He is my king. He is my head. He's the head of the church. He has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. Every promise of God is yes and amen by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is all scripture, you see. And when you begin to let that drop into your spirit and you begin to live in the word and you begin to commit to the word of God and that I'm going to live my life by what God says and not what I see, but what God says. Now faith begins to grow in your heart, and you're not going to go off half-cocked asking for stupid things that you're never going to get. All right. Faith desires what God wants. So how do I know what God wants? Well, I'm going to have to live my life by the word of God. John 15:7. Foundation scripture for me. If you abide in me, if, conditional, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you abide in my word, I gotta live in the word. I gotta know what the word says. What is God saying to me? Right now, I'm speaking and God, the Holy Spirit, is teaching. And there are going to be things that I'm going to say in this message that are going to quicken in your spirit, and the light's going to come on, and you're going to grab that, and God's going to talk to you about that, and faith is going to grow. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You don't need more faith. You need to grow faith. You've got all the faith you're going to need. Every time the disciples asked for more faith, he said, you don't need more. You just need to develop, which is practice. You've got to practice. You've got to practice. You've got to practice. You've got the faith muscles. You've got the spirit of faith. You've got the gift of faith on you. You've got the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of faith in you. And when you need a supernatural faith, he'll get it to you. When you don't, he'll help you and give you the grace to believe my word. But I've got to do something. I've got to commit to live in the word of God day in and day out. Now, the only way I know to do that is by reading my Bible and by listening to messages and listening to the Holy Spirit and praying. Simple disciplines, but I don't know. If I don't read my Bible, I don't know what it says. Luke was amazed in Israel at the yeshiva school that they're there from 8 o'clock in the morning until 11 at night studying the word of God. And when he was with a 26-year-old from New Jersey, and he said, why are you here? He wasn't 26, he was 20. He said, I'm here because my life is starting out. I'm 20 years old from New Jersey. I'm a Jewish boy, and I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to have a career. I'm not going to be a rabbi, because Luke asked him. And he said, no, I'm not studying to be a rabbi in Jerusalem. I'm here because this book has the words of life. And why would I want to launch my life without knowing how to live it God's way? He was amazed at their hunger for the word. You see, we live in a world of distraction. We live in a world where it's easy to watch all the Hallmark movies. I've watched every one of them. I can tell you about all of them. We live in a world where the kids are here, or the job is this, or the, you know, you're on Facebook, or you're on, I don't do social media because, it's too much for me. But you do, you live there. Just ask Michelle, she's got all these sayings and I don't know what they mean. And it's a marvelous thing to me what you're living with. It's amazing to me. I'm so impressed with you. You can do a million different things every day, can't you? But you see, the most important thing, if you want the will of God and if you want your desires to come forth, is to live in the Word. When I shut myself away and I moved myself and my daughter into that Bastreet house, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just following Jesus because I loved him. I loved him. Faith works by love. I fell in love with Jesus. So I followed the open doors. I just prayed like crazy. Oh God, I'm so scared. Please close the door if this isn't where you want me to be. My family all said, don't go. It's a cult. But yet something inside of me said, go. A whisper said, go. It's gonna be okay. A peace inside of me when my mother said, don't go. When my brother said, don't go. When everybody I trusted in my family that were Christians said, oh no, you don't wanna do that. There was a whisper, a God whisper in my heart that said, go. You see, faith comes when the will of God is known. When you begin to just flesh it out and you take time to live in the Word. And this is a foundation scripture for me. It's Proverbs 16:3, and you've heard me say this to you so many times. This is the Classified Amplified, but it says, roll your works upon the Lord. He will cause your thoughts. Trust and commit them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed. You see, I didn't know. I knew nothing. You talk about green between, wet behind the ears. Knew nothing, just a sinner. That's all I was, an ex-sinner. The shame was still on. I didn't tell my testimony because I was so embarrassed. Now I tell it and there's no shame, it's cleansed. But then it was too new and I was raw and I was ashamed. I didn't have the fullness yet of that forgiveness, the realization of it, the rhema of it. So some of you may be just miserable right now and just hang in there, don't stop. Your sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west, but the remnant, the memory and the shame of it, it takes time to get washed. But don't stop. Don't quit. Just keep walking to him. Just keep going with him. Just believe him. Fall in love with him. Just do what he says to do. Simple little steps. Every day, simple little steps. That's faith. And that's when your life changes. So God said to me, Debbie, if you'll learn to commit and ask me. So what's your desire? Where? How do you know it's the will of God? Faith comes when the will of God is known. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So you live in the word. Faith needs permission. That's my point. I got to live in the Word. And then I've got to commit these things to him. I've got to talk to him about it. And I've got to be willing for him to change my heart. Let's say that you are in love with somebody. But he's not the one. But oh, there's a tie there. You've been sleeping with him. I know these things. And it's hard to break away. But you see, you know that he's not the one. You've got to surrender that desire to God. Roll your works upon the Lord. Roll your plans. Deliver them up. Surrender them up to him. Let him be Lord over your life. You see, if you want to live a life of faith and you want a life that's blessed, this is how you do it. You start where you're at, with where your life is. What do you want? Jesus says, what do you want? To the blind man. Well, obviously I'm blind. Don't you think I want to see? No. Do you want to be healed? To the paralytic at the pool of Shiloh. What do you want? What is your desire? Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. What do you want? And you see, then you take that want and that desire. You take it out and look at it. And you say, God, I've got to roll this thing on you. Is this your will for me or not? And Lord, as I roll this on you, as I commit to you, he's causing my thoughts as I'm living in the Word to become agreeable with His will, and so shall my plans be established and succeed. Now there's a change. Now what I had to have, I don't have to have anymore. That man isn't looking so good anymore. That job over there isn't not where God wants me to be, because that desire and that money that I wanted, or that, you know, that guy, I can be a cocktail waitress and make all this money and I can't feed my kids right now. You see what I'm saying? God knows where you're at. The desires begin to change when you begin to come into His presence, live in His Word, and give Him permission to change your thoughts, because faith needs permission to believe. When you begin to believe, then, faith kicks in. It's a substance. Now you have confidence. Now you know this is the will of God. And now you can step into a life of faith on this situation. And now you're going to have to pull out your sword and your shield. And you're going to war. But the battle is His, and you're going to win. But you got to first do this step. You got to realize faith comes by hearing. You got to get permission. Faith needs permission. To get permission, you got to check the desire. Whatsoever things you desire, what do you want? The question I'm asking you today is, what do you want? You got to live in the Word about it. What does the Word say about it? If the Word's clear on it, the Word doesn't have a direct instruction on it, like you're not in sin, like if you're sleeping with somebody and he's not a Christian and you're not married, okay, you need to stop that. That's sin. And you won't go any further with God until that's... I had to move out of that relationship. First, I moved into a bedroom, and then I moved out of the house because that man did not want to let me go. It took me 6 months to do it, but it was gradual, and God was working on me and working on me and working on me. You see, God does a redo in your life. You have not screwed up so much that He's not going to redo. He will redo. He will redo your life. But there's a way He redoes. He restores, but there's a way of restoration. First and foremost, live in the Word, give the desire to God. Remember, He's at work both to will and to do His good purpose in you. Now you've got His pleasure in you, and you've got His desire in you. Now how does this work? Well, Philippians chapter 2, let's look at verse 12 and 13. I've got to remember some things as I'm walking this out. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I got to work something out here. I got a life that I have to flesh out. I got to walk out. I got to live out. Next verse. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Your job and my job in faith is to surrender the will. That's not easy. Surrender the will. Surrender the will. Lord, is this what you want for me? I want it, but is this what you want for me? And when He begins to speak to you, at that point in time, you've got to surrender that thing to Him, for it is God. Now listen to me, you want success? I'm a wealthy woman today. I have a family that has a dynasty and a legacy in place now. Jim and I were losers. We had no money, we had no job, he'd been married 3 times, I did drugs, I had too many men in my life. Do you think that kind of a woman, if you would have seen me at 23 on the streets of San Bernardino, on the streets of Santa Barbara and on the cliffs of Santa Barbara doing too much acid, you would have looked at me and you would have said, no way is that ever going to be my pastor, or is that ever going to be Jessica's mom. You would have said, no way does she have a snowball's chance in hell to be anything but just a loser. She's going to make wrong choices all her life like the women in her family did. You see, that's what Satan wants, but God has a different plan. I want to give you hope today. God wants you successful. He wants you to have a husband that loves you. He wants your children to be mighty on the earth. He wants you to pay your bills. He wants you to have good jobs. He wants you to represent Him well on this planet. But there's a process of faith that these things come to you. Faith comes when the will of God is known. Faith needs permission to believe. Live in the Word and then surrender that thing to God. Find out if it's His will. If He doesn't tell you to stop, if He doesn't put the brakes on it, then you remember, okay, God, You're at work both to will and to do Your good pleasure in me. You know what that means? It means when I surrender the will, He takes over. I change. He gives me the grace, God's power in me.
to do what His truth demands of me. I can't quit drinking. I can't quit smoking. I can't quit this bad habit. Oh God, help me. I need You to deliver me. I need You to flesh this out with me. I need You to give me the strength in my spirit to say no to this thing. And you see, the power of God, the grace of God begins to come in your life, and you begin to, things drop off. Some things are delivered, and some things you got to flesh out. But remember, He's at work to willing to do His good pleasure in your life. God changed me. I didn't change me. All I had to do is will to be changed. Does that make any sense? Man, there's a struggle here with the heart. And until that heart lays down and bows the will to the Son of the living God as Lord and Savior, I don't change. He loves me, I'll go to heaven, but my life will not bear the fruit that He's already appointed for it to bear. So, faith remembers that He's at work. Then peace comes. Because when you're going to flesh this thing out, it's going to take some time. I mean, not going to just happen. Boom. Everything changes. Now, from the amen to the hallelujah, from the time you pray to the time it received, there's a walk of faith. And that is going to take some patience and some peace. Now listen. Peace comes with confidence. When you have confidence, you have peace. I'm talking about the long haul. Jim and I moved 11 times. We were married. We got married. He lost his job. We got married up to Lake Arrowhead. We went, oh gosh, I'm going so long. Is it okay if I go a little bit longer? Is this all right? So we get married. 20 days before we get married, he loses his job. He was making a lot of money and he lost his job. So his dad had a construction company in Lake Arrowhead. So we moved from Santa Barbara to Lake Arrowhead to go work with his dad. So I married a man that had a lot of money, and the ship came in and the ship left. And I loved him so much, I didn't care. And off we went to Lake Arrowhead. We had no money, we had no job, we had nothing. We were living by faith. He took me to a faith convention on our honeymoon. We're getting the Word in us. We're living in the Word. We're living in the Word. We're putting it in us. We're putting it in us. We're putting it in us. We're laying our lives before Him. Lord, You don't want us to drink. We're not drinking. We took a vow. We're not drinking anymore. Because, you know, one glass of wine, I was three sheets to the wind. So we put that away. God told us to put that away. We didn't know we were going to be pastors. I mean, can you imagine if we were drinking pastors in this city? We'd all be at the South Salute right after church. That's not going to work. I didn't know what my future held, but God did. See, when you surrender and He takes it and He instructs you, you'll have peace in your heart. You'll have a confidence. Look at the Word says. It says here, peace comes with confidence. In the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and His children shall always have a place of refuge. When you're in the will of God, there's peace. All hell may be breaking loose, but there's peace in your heart. And in 1 John 5, this is what it says, and this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to His will, now we're in His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens and hears, and if we positively know that He listens to us and whatever we ask, we know it's settled with absolute knowledge that we have it, it's granted, it's ours, but we got to walk it out and we got to wait for it. Are you hearing me? There's a confidence that comes when you're in the will of God and He has spoken to you, and now you have to wait for that thing to manifest, and it may take some time. We moved 11 times in Lake Arrowhead. In 9 years, we moved 11 times. We rented. We gave our house away, and we ended up renting. I wanted a home, and I wanted a little cottage home. I wanted a country home, and Jim's a 6'5" man, and, you know, he's a big man, and he wants a palace, and, you can take the girl out of the ranch, but you can't take the ranch out of the girl. I wanted country. I wanted horses and cows, and I came from that, and I loved animals. Jim didn't have animals. We didn't have animals in the house. So I married Beverly Hills, and he married, you know, Cowboy Jill or whatever I was. So we move 11 times, and I just have this longing. I'm not talking to God much about it, but I'm just, Lord, I'd like to have a house. We didn't have faith to buy a house. We didn't have any money. We were pastoring up in Lake Arrowhead. We had no money. And God spoke to me, and I talked Jim into looking at this little house on the hill. And it was a little blue house, and it looked over the rim. And Jim couldn't even stand up in the bathroom. It was so low. he had to crouch in the shower. There was only one bathroom. It was three floors, but the view was a killer view, and I didn't know then that my husband loves views. So it was the view that drew him, and he said yes to the house. He should never have said yes to it, but he said yes to it. It was not his kind of house. I was in heaven. But he hated that house. He was afraid it was going to burn down and burn the kids up with it. He never follows me, but this one time he followed me. Well, that house turned out to be a prophetic house, and that's how we got here. But that's another story. So God spoke to me, and he said, I'm going to give you that house. Now, when I say God spoke to me, I had such a strong impression in prayer as I committed it to Lord. I said, Lord, I want this house, but if it's not your will, I don't want it. I know Jim doesn't like it. Oh, no, God, I need a house, but I'm okay. I'll rent for the rest of my life. Prayer of faith. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, I'm going to give you that house. I heard it. Like I heard him say, I've called you to love that man. I had faith. I had a rhema from God. I had faith to marry that man, or I'd never married him. I had faith for the blue house. And I thought, did you just tell me I can have the house? And I just felt like the Lord said yes. There was peace. There was confidence. I had faith. Faith comes when the will of God is known. So we put that house in escrow. We packed up our house. I was so excited. Jim's kind of dragging his feet. But he's okay. He's got a view. 10 days before the escrow closed, the house fell out of escrow and they took the house back. They decided not to sell it after all. Well, we had already given our notice on the rental, so we had to find a place to live. So we had to move all the way to Running Springs. We were living in Lake Arrowhead, which was about 30 miles away. We had to unpack everything. I had to move into a Running Springs house. I'd unpack and I had to put that house together, and my heart was broken because I thought I heard from God. I thought I had a rhema from God, and I was so devastated that I was going to preach at this conference, and I didn't even want to go because I thought, God, if I miss God that much, how can I give anybody the word of God? It shook me. It rattled me to my core. I mean, this was 40 years ago. No, 30 years ago. Listen, I was not mad at God. I was just disappointed that I'd miss God. And God spoke to me. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I've missed you. And he says, I want you to go preach faith and I want you to live by faith. He says, that's your house. And within 30 days, we were in that house. It was closed to escrow. We got the money we needed to pay for it, and we were in that house. And God spoke to me, and he said, don't ever doubt my word again. When I tell you that something's going to happen, you believe it. I don't care if you have to pack your bags and move and unpack your bags and move your family 30 miles away. If I told you that's your house, that's your house. And no matter what the devil tries to do to stop it, you believe me because you will be in that house and you will have those things that you desire when you surrender them to me, when you begin to have the peace and the confidence of God, and when you begin to flesh them out. You see, you're going to need patience in this thing. Because the enemy doesn't want you blessed. He doesn't want you to have these things. He doesn't want the desires of God and your desires to come together and you be a powerful force on the earth. He doesn't want your children pastors. They should never be pastors. Jessica should never be head of this woman's ministry. My God, that girl about took me to hell and back as I snatched her out of the clutches of hell. My daughter Miranda shouldn't be pastoring right now. She's 47 and she's got the Church of the Rock of Temecula, over 4,000 people in it. She should never be pastoring because she screwed up really bad, got pregnant, and did all the things I did and thought my children will never do. God does redos. He has resets. Don't you stop and don't you give up. Don't you quit on God. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall have them. What is it you want? Take it to God. Faith needs permission. Live in the word. And when you get that word, it's the will of God that your children should be disciples, taught of the Lord, obedient to God's will. And great is their peace and their undisturbed composure. That's the word of God and the promise of God. You got a promise of God. You've got the permission of God. Now let your faith go get it. Surrender your will to it when you don't know what that is. Let the confidence of faith come into you. God said you could have it. It's yours. But you got to act like it's yours. Now, you don't have to be crazy in front of people. That's mine, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. No, just shut up. Keep it in your heart like Mary. I know, because I've made a fool of myself over the years. So if you listen to this old woman, you don't have to make a fool of yourself. Mary hid things in her heart. Some things we just need to hide in our hearts. And there are girlfriends that you can trust with your faith desires. And they'll pray with you. But most people, just keep it to yourself and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, because he ever lives to make intercession for you. So when nobody's praying for you, guess who's praying for you 24/7? Faith needs permission, faith needs practice, and faith needs patience. That blue house came into my life. When we built this church, We started this church with 12 people. 17 years later, everybody else had buildings. We didn't have the faith for a building. We were a poor church. God said, it's time for you to put a stake into this valley. It's time for you to buy land. It's time for you to build. We had nothing. We had a big church. We had about 4,000 people, but we didn't have any money. Where are we going to get $18 million? You see, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you believe God for $18 million? Well, you start with five. First, you started with a million. First, you started with 500,000. Then you started with 100,000, 30,000, 20,000 offering. Do you know what I'm saying? It grows. Your faith develops as you walk in Him and you live this out. You get notches on your faith belt and you begin. Your faith expands. You don't need more. You just need to develop it. The only way to develop your faith is by doing it, obeying Him, walking it out every day and not stopping. This church is a miracle. And it's not because we had great faith. It's because we have a great God. When God told Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have Isaac. But what about Ishmael? No, Ishmael's a child of the flesh. He's not going to be the covenant son. You're not going to have Isaac until you can't have Isaac. You're not going to have Isaac until you can't have him. Because then if you can have him, you'll say, I did it. He's a miracle. You see, God wants to do miracles in your life. But if you're trying to do it, He'll step away. But if you'll surrender that to Him and believe Him, He'll do it. So what is your work? Your work is to believe. His work is to do. You can't make it happen, but you can believe the one that loves you, that has a good plan for your life, that isn't going to let you fall, that has redo buttons and reset buttons for all the mistakes, all the wrong choices. And as you walk this thing out, girls, Jim and I have made mistakes. We've made wrong choices, wrong decisions. God's bigger than our wrong choices. God's bigger. He takes care of the mess. If you're not trying to make a mess, but you can, He'll take care of it. Just like your two-year-old, if he spills milk, are you going to beat him? No, you're going to teach him how to carry that milk so he doesn't spill it. Right? So God is with us. We can be all fanatical and all gung-ho, and all of a sudden we fall on our faces and we want to quit and we're ashamed and we're embarrassed. You know what God says? He picks us up. He washes our face. He says, come on, let's go learn how to do this. And He teaches us again. And He picks us up. He dusts us off. And He says, now come on, let's grow that faith, because I got things for you to do. I got families for you to believe for. I've got businesses for you to start. I've got men that I need some godly women for. I've got legacies I want to leave to families that will change the earth. Like this family right here. There's a legacy. There's a God assignment on this family. Don't you look at your life right now and say, God, what's going to happen will happen suddenly and very, very supernaturally, so that you will know it's God. You will not have a doubt in your heart that this is the one. And it will happen. But it will happen in His time. Don't go looking. Just follow. God has a plan for your lives. Faith needs permission. Faith needs practice. Faith needs patience. It's going to take some time. It takes a lifetime to build a church. It takes a lifetime to raise a family. It takes a lifetime to grow old. It's a beautiful place to be. God wants to bless you, girls. As we leave today, and I've gone way too long. Oh, forgive me. So many stories I could tell you. Jim and I have lived the impossible because we have an impossible God that does the impossible. We have a God of possible things. He loves you. If you get nothing else out of today, know that God does redos and resets in your life. It's not too late for you. Know that God has put God-given desires in you that you can't get rid of. When you pray them away and they don't leave, pay attention to those desires. Pay attention to those. When you've surrendered them to Him and they grow stronger, then you have to say, Lord, okay, what is this? And what do you want me to do? And He'll give you the next glimpse and the next step. We see through a mirror dimly. We don't get the whole picture all at once. Just little glimpses. as we walk this out in faith. But know that you're loved, adored. He won't let you fall. He won't let you fail. He has designed you for success, and he has called you to raise up a generation that could usher in, I believe, the return of the Lord. I believe things are astir, and we are at a crossroads in time. And we're going to see this next generation, if I get to live long enough to see it. And we're going to see things on the earth that we've prayed for and longed for. Don't stop now. We're just beginning. With every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.